Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for free. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required. This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer, the greatest tag team wrestler of all time, Bully Ray and I talk all about Fyter Fest night number one and the Great American Bash night number one. That's right, AEW and NXT going head to head. We break it down like we always do on a Thursday morning, but here's the difference. Two huge shows. Again, the Great American Bash and Fyter Fest going head to head. We break it down match by match, what worked, what didn't. We do all of that right now on the Busted Open Podcast.
To quote Le Champion, Dave LaGreca, you're a dummy.
Wow, that's not right.
I know, right? Why'd they say that about you? You got buried hard last night on AEW.
No, I think you're wrong. I think you saw who is a Hall of Fame commentator and who is not. Jim Ross, a Hall of Fame commentator, was praising Busted Open, praising me, praising our show, praising the interview we did with Private Party. Chris Jericho, you know, the ultimate heel, and Tony Schiavone, who is not quite Jim Ross, obviously went a different direction. But, you know, cream rises to the top, as they say, Bully.
You know what? I don't think I did that audio justice. All I did was quote Le Champion, Chris Jericho. I'd like to hear from Le Champion, Chris Jericho. Chris, are you out there? Because I'd love to hear from you.
Where you need an invitation at a combined weight of 24 ounces of vodka cranberry, Isaiah Cassidy, Mark Twain, Private Party.
These guys are talking up AEW today on the outstanding Busted Open radio show. Did a great job.
Dave LaGreca, what a dummy.
Well, I can't argue with that, but I also want to tell you
All right, I was listening, you know, obviously, because as I said, Bully, on this show, is going to watch AEW live and then watch NXT right after AEW. And I heard that. I was like, wait, what? I had to rewind that. I was like, that was crazy. But always good hearing from good old JR, Jim Ross, Hall of Famer, the greatest voice in the history of pro wrestling. And you know what? JR, not only being a Hall of Famer, but man, having to carry that commentator booth each and every Wednesday, that poor guy's shoulders and back must be hurting after AEW Dynamite each and every Wednesday. Feel bad for JR. He deserves better.
I can't believe you're coming on the air this morning and you're burying Jericho and Schiavone like this.
Did you not listen to what they just said about me, Bully?
Yeah. Don't you get it? They put you over on national television.
Yeah.
They're talking about Dave LaGreca. And if I know you, Dave, okay? Because I know how you're like a child at times. You are like a complete little kid. Like, when LaGreca heads pop up in arenas, I know it moves a little for you. Because everything starts to go to your head. You're like, oh my God, look, my LaGreca head's on NXT. My LaGreca head is on AEW. My LaGreca head's on Raw or SmackDown. Last night, I guarantee you, when you heard Jericho mention your name, and then you heard Shivani acknowledge your name, you probably popped up off of your couch or your Archie Bunker chair and looked at Violetta, and you were like, they just said my name. They just said my name.
Not quite bad.
I don't care. Sit back down. It doesn't matter.
I mean, you are right. The blood rushed. You know, the blood did rush to my head, but not the one on my shoulders. And you're also right about the fact that it grabbed my attention, but I'm not all giddy like that. But it's good to be acknowledged. And as I said, Jim Ross, the greatest voice in the history of pro wrestling.
JR, like last night, that announced team, extremely entertaining.
Oh, my God, yes.
There's a reason why they put Jericho there. You know, you want to watch the action in the ring as much as you want to listen to the commentary. The stuff that I love about commentary on AEW is it's kind of like watching the movie Airplane. You got to pay attention to what's going on in the background. Those guys throw little digs and they mention little off-color things so much that if you're not listening, you're going to miss it. And by the time you get it, they're on to the next thing. And that's what I enjoy, that quick-wittedness.
Well, Jericho mentioned me. He mentioned the group Anvil, and I popped when he talked about Morgan Freeman on Zoom, and I tweeted out that it was Electric Company, not Zoom, that Morgan Freeman was on. But, like, he does that. Jericho does that in his books. If you ever have read any of his authored books, like, he does those little things that if you're not paying attention, it goes right over your head. He does that on commentary. He does that so well. Yes. The three of them together are magic. And I think we know the direction Chris Jericho is going to go in once his wrestling career is over, because he is going to be a commentator whatever he decides to go, whether it's AEW or another company, when his wrestling career is over. And I hope he is, because he is like Bobby the Brain Heenan level, Jesse Ventura level, you know, when it comes to commentary, I believe.
He does a good job. I'm not going to blow as much smoke up his ass as you have, because it'll come back and bite me in the ass. So enough with putting everybody over. What did you think of both shows last night? Which one did you like better?
I absolutely loved both shows. Bully, I made the mistake the last few weeks, and I mentioned this to you on the air, how I would jump back and forth from NXT and AEW. Not the way to watch these shows. I'm sorry. You have to watch. These shows are so good. You have to watch one show and then after watch the other show. You can't jump around because you do miss things. This isn't Monday Night Raw where there's a lot of dead periods. On these shows, they really have balls to the wall action. I mentioned also that because of the name of the NXT show that I was going to watch AEW live and then watch NXT, which I did. But to answer your question, I think overall I preferred AEW over NXT by a smidge. But when it comes to NXT, my favorite match of the night was on NXT, and I preferred the main event on NXT over AEW. But from beginning to end, I preferred AEW over NXT.
Do you know why you liked AEW a smidge better, as you said? Can you put your finger on it?
Yes, there's two things. One, I loved every match. I really did enjoy every match on AEW, which I don't know if I can say that about NXT. And then even though NXT did a good job with the presentation of the Great American Bash and the way they decorated that room, it's still that room. And there's something about that room where there is no environment. Whether there's wrestlers or there's nobody, there is no aura to that room at all. Not the case with AEW. Sometimes when you're watching AEW, Bully, it does feel like there's an arena full of people. I don't know if it's because it's the open air. I don't know where they've situated the fans that are there. There is an environment to an AEW show that is not the same with NXT.
The environment last night for AEW was definitely better than the environment for NXT. NXT was good, but AEW was great as far as environment. That outdoor feel, the palm trees, the girls in the bikinis, the boys at ringside, the guys, the gals, they were loud, they were boisterous. They're allowed to go out there and basically do whatever they want to do. Go out there, be a crowd, go be a fan, have fun, and do whatever to make the show as lively as possible. And that's what you're getting from AEW. NXT, they got a lot. They got some extras around, and they're kind of told where to stand and told when to react. It was a good atmosphere at NXT. It was good. AEW, to me, was a great atmosphere. And I agree with you. The stuff that I saw last night on AEW, lots of good stuff, including the sleeper match of the night for me, which was Penelope Ford and Hikaru Shida. I thought that match was very good. It might not have been the most technical sound match, but what it might not have had in, you know, technical wrestling ability, it wasn't Thatcher versus, Oney Lorcan. But man, there was a lot of energy. Penelope Ford really stepped up her game last night. Penelope Ford, to me, Penelope Ford, she reminded me of Liv Morgan. Like, I'm looking at those two in the same way. Obviously, they have kind of have the same look and the same stature. They got a great presentation of their characters. But in the ring, Penelope took steps forward last night the way I would have loved to have seen Liv Morgan take steps forward. Penelope, I definitely, when I was done with that match, I'm like, wow, Penelope got better.
Yeah, I mean, that was the match that shocked.
I don't know if it was from last week to this week. I can tell Penelope got better. Now, when I say got better, I'm not telling you that she's Bret Hart, so don't, let's not get crazy, people. But I'm telling you she got better. She had a good match with Shida. Did they kick out of a little too many things? Yeah, but okay, whatever, so what? I'm not going to be as critical because it was entertaining. So that was the sleeper match for me. But yeah, presentation-wise, I thought both companies did a good job. I think both companies put on a good product last night. I do agree with you. My favorite match of the night was Sasha and Io. Actually, it's a tie because something happened last night that I never thought I was going to like as much as I liked it. And that was Thatcher and Lorcan.
That, to me, that was the match of the night. Like I said, AEW to me from beginning to end was a better show by a smidge. But when you look at the main event, and we'll get into it, I'm sure, during the course of the show today, Bully, I prefer the NXT main event over the AEW event, which kind of surprised me because it was a non-title match, which, you know, was kind of odd for me to have a non-title match as your main event of a special show. But the Oney Lorcan Timothy Thatcher match to me was the match of the night. And on paper, that wasn't a match that I was really looking at as something that we may even be talking about on today's show with every other match that was taking place. But the physicality of that match, you always talk about when it comes to pro wrestling in 2020, like old school, like what you say for your school, old school rules, you know, new school tools. That really showed in that match last night. Like, to me, I would love for the future of pro wrestling to be a lot of what we saw in that match last night on NXT.
A couple of weeks ago when we had that, what was it, the pit cage or the cage of fire, a cage of doom, whatever, with Riddle and Thatcher, I really enjoyed that. I did, and when it comes to that MMA wrestling work shoot kind of style, I'm not really into it too much because to me, there's not enough entertainment involved. There's not enough pomp and circumstance. But man, I came away from Riddle and Thatcher going, that was awesome. That was hard hitting. The work within the fight got me involved. You could tell that those guys were laying their stuff in. They were snug, but it was good snug. I don't think anybody got banged up too bad. I think somebody lost a tooth, but whatever. It's not ballet. But I came away saying, wow, I want more of Riddle and Thatcher. I'd watch that again. Hell, I'd pay for it. And I would never pay for a match like that. That's just my own personal taste. And now last night I'm watching Thatcher and Lorcan, and I'm like, man, this is really good. This is what it was meant to be back in the day. A spirited contest, a fight, aggression. Everything looks tight and snug. Everything means something. Dave, they blew me away with something that they did last night that nobody else does. They made something so small and normally thrown away in wrestling matches, and they made it mean something. Did you pick up on it by any chance?
What was that? Was it the final submission in the match with the arm? What was it?
Nope. It wasn't a move. It was something so small that normally we take for granted in wrestling matches and we don't even care about anymore because they really don't mean anything. The chops. When they were chopping each other, they weren't chopping each other just to make a sound or to go woo or for one guy to chop somebody and then just wait 5 minutes to chop them again. It was like they would chop each other to open each other up to go for a move. They would chop each other and then try to grab a hold. They would chop each other and then try to get into something. The chop was meant to beat the other guy down so they could actually get a submission or a hold on somebody. You're not going to win a match with a chop, right?
No.
But if I chop you good enough and it stings you while you're selling it and you lift your arms up, I might be able to leg dive you, or I might be able to cravat you, or I might be able to get you in a hammerlock. They used something so basic as a chop to make psychological sense of their offense. I loved that.
Formula One Racing on Sirius XM. Precision, performance, and speed. The F1 Series opens Sunday. It's the Austrian Grand Prix. Pre-race coverage starts at 8 a.m. Eastern. Then go live to the track at 9 Eastern for turn-by-turn racing action, followed by a complete post-race recap. Hear it on Dan Patrick Radio, Channel 211, or at home with Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or however you stream in the house.
Let's get into Cody and Jake Hager. I thought that that was going to be the main event. I actually mentioned it to Cody when we had him on. If you missed it, go to SiriusXM app and listen to it on demand. Also, watch our videos as well of me banning Cody Rhodes after he spoiled my birthday party that I was going to have for him. But were you, A, surprised, Bully, that it wasn't the main event on Fighter Fest last night?
It probably would have been the obvious main event. And I think keeping it away from the end of the show does it good, because you know that it's going to go to a 20-minute time limit at the very least, because you don't know how much TV time is going to be remaining. So I like it better in the middle of the show, because when you put the TV championship up at the end of the show, you're kind of looking at the clock. Well, how much TV time do they have remaining? In the middle of the show, at the very least, you know you're getting a 20-minute match, right?
Yeah.
But if there's what if the TV championship goes into the ring with only 5 minutes remaining in the show? Because the stipulation is 20 minutes or TV time remaining.
Yes.
So it's better to have that match in the middle. Also, I believe they use it as their crossover, right?
Yeah, it was like right in the middle of the show. Yep.
Correct. So the crossover segment is a very important segment, because that's the segment that goes from like 8:57 to 9:03. Normally, shows are going off the air at a certain time and coming on the air at a certain time. You want to be going over the hour with action in the ring. And so that's their crossover. So the crossover is a very, very important segment. I'd actually be interested to know what NXT had in the ring during their crossover, because if you're flipping around, what are you going to stay on? I thought Hager and Cody did a good job. I know you're going to want to get into the finish. I know you're going to want to get into what probably you perceive as heel tactics from the Cody camp.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to hear what the Nation has to say about it.
Yeah, and we'll get to the Nation in just a second. But I thought a very good match between the two. But, you know, you're right. It is about the ending. And the ending was a bit crazy because, you know, you had, Jake Hager had the ankle lock on Cody. Cody escaped. And then Arn got involved distracting the referee. And then Dustin Rhodes comes out, and then you have, you know, Hager having the choke on Cody, and then it looks like Cody's passing out, but was able to put him in a pinning situation where he got the three count. Like, a lot of craziness happening in the last, like, 30 seconds of that match. And Arn Anderson kind of was a distraction even earlier on. Like, you saw him outside the ring where Jake Hager was going to, you know, take Cody's head to that outside post. Arn Anderson stood in front of the post, distracted Hager enough where Cody reversed it, and then was able to get Hager into the post. So it was very weird how Arn Anderson got involved, how Dustin Rhodes got involved, and then Hager just being so pissed off at the officiating, he knocked out the referee. A lot going on in that final 30 seconds, Bully.
It seems like the Cody camp could be putting their toe in the water with heel tactics, although they might just be saying, this is Arn being Arn. Arn is known for manipulation and how to take guys' attention away. He's a crafty veteran. So they're just doing what they do. You can compare it to Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
That was convincing. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, in the past, because as we know, it's not going to be Bill Belichick and Cam Newton moving forward.
You get my point.
Belichick and
Brady were always working hand in hand to get an upper hand, whether it was Spygate, Deflategate, your sister's ass gate, whatever. They were always doing something.
Yeah, if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
There you go. So that's what we're doing. Cody did not reverse Hager's move. Hager hit his move and held on to it. And in holding on to it, he was trying to choke Cody out, not really realizing that Cody was on top of him. And Cody didn't reverse anything.
That's true. And also, it looked to me, and maybe, again, maybe my perception was wrong, it looked like Hager's shoulder was up at the one count in that pinning predicament as well. Again, that was my perception. I don't know if you caught on it or the fans. It looked to me like his shoulder was up. So it looked to me. But again, like, you know, Dustin Rhodes getting involved and Arn Anderson getting involved. Like, you know, we're used to bullying when we were growing up, like, and we saw it like with the Freebirds and the Von Erichs, you know, when Kerry Von Erich had that match with Ric Flair where Michael Hayes tried to, you know, help out Kerry Von Erich to win that NWA title. What happened? Hey, man, I can't win that way. This is, you know, I don't need your help to win the title. I don't need your help. I can do this on my own. Cody has no problem taking advantage of those situations that are thrown his way.
Did it make it entertaining for you?
Yes, it did.
Well, that right now, it's really all that matters. Now, Hager put his hands on a referee. Are we going to see Hager fined, suspended, fired, yeah, yeah, yeah? Are we going to see them if the shoulder was up? Listen, when people's shoulders are up during a finish, a la Hager last night, if it did happen, a la Ronda Rousey's at WrestleMania, these are mistakes. Obviously, Ronda's shoulder being up at WrestleMania was a mistake. Because if that was planned, they would have already taken advantage of it and not waited for Becky to get pregnant, have a child, and then go back to that story. But they could go back to that story now because of the mistake. We can always turn the mistake into a positive through storytelling because we control everything that we do in wrestling. So Hager has a legit gripe. If they want to fine or suspend him or say you did something wrong, well, you know what? My shoulder was up at one, if it indeed was. You can always take that negative and turn it into a positive through creative storytelling.
And listen, Hager has a lot to bitch about. I mean, he could bitch about Arn. He could bitch about Dustin. He could bitch about, you know, the officiating. Like, there is a lot there. Because if you look at it, he got screwed. No matter what happened, Jake Hager got screwed in that matchup last night.
Let's compare apples to apples. Why did Asuka come out last night to help Io?
Because of the constant interference by Bayley.
So Asuka was righting the wrong, correct?
Yes.
What righting of the wrong were Arn and Dustin doing?
Well, I mean, there was the one slap in the face from Hager's wife onto, you know, there was a slap in the face, but I don't know if that really...
If there was a slap in the face from Hager's wife, who should have showed up?
Brandy.
Gabby, did you see the show last night? Gabby, do you talk, Gabby? Gabby.
I don't think Gabby's listening.
Gabby, but Gabby, 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 Gabby.
She's not listening, but she's not listening. But I will say what Gabby said during the break, and it really... It really piqued our interest is that Gabby said, hey, you know what? The one thing that was like, where was Brandy? Like if a woman just slapped my husband in the face, like Gabby said last week with the glass of water during the press conference, where was the retaliation from Brandy? And I didn't think about it at the time, Bully, until Gabby mentioned it before the show. Like if there was a slap in the face, where was Brandy? Because then that makes sense. If Brandy came out and then slapped Jake Hager in the face, all right, that's a tit for tat. All right, now I get it. But a slap in the face from Jake Hager's wife onto Cody Rhodes does not mean now that Arn Anderson and Dustin Rhodes now have the right to interfere in a title match.
I got to tell you, man, if after the slap, Brandy comes out, spears Hager's wife on the floor, those two women start beating the crap out of each other, now Cody and freaking and Hager have to stop their match to split their wives up. Both of the legal guys are on the floor. The referee is counting. They got to split their wives up and get their wives out of harm's way before the referee does the double count out. And just as they separate them in 19, both guys dive back in and then go right back to their match. That's kind of entertaining, man.
Yeah, it really is.
That would have piqued my interest.
And you know what? Like, instead of that punch from Dustin, imagine, like, you know, Brandy's getting dragged away and then, you know, with her shoe or whatever, just enough of a physical contact that could make what we just saw at the end of that match, which is very, very possible. It would look better coming from Brandy than it did from Dustin Rhodes. Now, I know that Brandy doesn't have the right hook like a Dustin Rhodes has, but you know what I'm saying? All it takes sometimes is that little bit of a distraction that can completely throw off a match.
And they had already planted a seed the week before with Hager's wife throwing the water on Cody. Now Hager's wife smacks Cody. The table was set for Brandy to come out and do something. It would have made perfect sense for Brandy to come out, and it would have been very exciting. But whatever.
But you know what? We got what we got. Cody, again, retains his championship, though, you know, not retaining the championship the way that you thought he would retain the championship. It keeps the story going because Jake Hager definitely has a gripe. But now the whole story is going to be, and I'm wondering if we're going to get word, is he going to be suspended? You know, is there going to be a fine levied on Jake Hager? Because he did knock out a referee. I mean, you know, it can't just be a little slap on the wrist, even though he had the gripe. He still can't knock out a referee. I mean, so I'm wondering what ramifications we're going to see with Jake Hager moving forward. All right, let's go back out to the Busted Open Nation, Bully. Let's go out to Jeff in South Dakota. Jeff, what did you want to say about AEW and NXT last night?
Well, first of all, I got to say I apparently couldn't go into retirement for more than a year because I miss you guys too much.
No, thanks, Jeff.
Second of all, I still like AEW better than NXT because I think it's more a well-rounded, realistic, scripted wrestling show. I like the little points, like, you know, you see the mentioning of the referees, you see the professional commentary playing off each other well. I find NXT's commentating good, but not to the same level. I think the talent level, as far as veterans helping newer people at NXT, may be better with Sasha coming down, but I like the character development better with AEW's.
Yeah, and listen, and Jeff, thanks for the phone call, and thanks for coming out of early retirement to call into the show. You know what? I agree with him. First of all, like, I loved Nigel McGuinness as part of the commentating crew on NXT. I think Nigel, though, you know, being away has really helped Beth Phoenix a lot. Beth Phoenix didn't talk as much as she should before when it was a three-man booth. It's going to be hard for them to return to a three-man booth, Bully, because Beth Phoenix is so damn good on NXT. As a matter of fact, you know, to me, Beth Phoenix is a reason that I want to hear that commentating team. You know, this is no disrespect to Morrow. Beth Phoenix really shines. I mean, she's the best commentator, hands down, in the WWE right now. That being said, it's on a different level with AEW because it's entertaining. It's fun. You always say, you know, pro wrestling should be fun. And you know, NXT is giving us a better in-ring performance, in-ring wrestling, but I think that AEW is just more fun. It was more fun when there was 10,000 people, and even during this pandemic when there was no paid fans in attendance, AEW found a way to still be more fun, Bully.
Listen, if you're a diehard AEW fan, obviously it's going to be more fun. And even if you're a middle-of-the-road wrestling fan that makes their decision on a week-to-week basis as to what they're going to watch, if you put the two shows on side-by-side and you turn the volume up, you tell me which one sounds more fun. You know, some one or two people got in touch with me on social media, and they're like, ah, you're full of shit. You don't listen to the shows. Yeah, I do. I listen. I don't watch sometimes. I listen because I want to know which one sounds better. I want to know which one grabs my ears other than my eyes. You know, I tell a lot of young wrestlers, in this industry, we cater to a lot of different senses, and the ears are an extremely important sense. I can create an atmosphere of excitement even though there's nothing really going on in a ring. The moment before you say, Devon, get the tables, or the moment before the what's up, you can create this energy in a room, but there's nothing happening at that given moment. That's what AEW is able to do. They're creating an energy in a room.
Live golf on the PGA Tour rolls on this week at the Rocket Mortgage Classic.
Nate Lashley is the Rocket Mortgage Classic winner.
Get ready for the action on SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio with analysis from the likes of David Marr, Pat Perez, and Brad Faxon.
Try to take the situation and put that out of your mind.
Live coverage of the Rocket Mortgage Classic starts Thursday at noon Eastern. SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, Sirius 208 XM 92, or search PGA Tour Radio on your SiriusXM app.
Now, Bully, you've been talking about this for weeks, about the Taz and Brian Cage vignettes and promos that we've been seeing over the last few weeks with Jon Moxley, sometimes even there physically and just to the camera as we got closer and closer to this championship match that we're now going to see in 2 weeks. And I got to be honest with you, Bully, you would say, and at first I was kind of like, well, but Taz is so damn good. Like, I'm like, all right, Bully's saying this. He's talking about Cage kind of taking too much of a backseat and that Taz is stealing the scene week in and week out. But man, Taz is so good. And I see Brian Cage. There he's there. He's a big physical presence. And Cage is adding stuff to the end of the promo. So I was like, you know what? I don't know if I totally agree with Bully. And I kind of felt that way all the way up, Bully, until last night. And I texted you because to me, it was like you put me through a table. It was like a punch to the face. Like I woke up. And here's why. Because all the things that you've been preaching, I saw the light when I was watching them last night in that promo. Why is that? Well, because Taz is amazing on the microphone. Nobody's taking away a skill that Taz has. Man, he is phenomenal. I thought he was phenomenal with his podcast. I thought he was phenomenal on commentary. He does a great job on AEW Dark. And man, if you give him a promo and ask him to cut one, he can do it like nobody else. And he was talking about Brian Cage. And Brian Cage was there. It just seemed like Brian Cage was a football field away. Now, in essence, he was just a few feet back away from Taz. But man, Taz's presence and the way Taz talked to the camera, Taz, to me, took up 90% of that screen and Brian Cage took up 10%. I'll take it a step further. Brian Cage probably towers over Taz. He's probably, and I'm talking in height and physical presence, but watching that TV, it didn't feel that way. It felt like Taz towers over Brian Cage, not just in height, but physical presence. Like, I would have thought that it was Taz that was challenging Jon Moxley for that AEW championship. I'll take it a step further. I want to see Taz against Jon Moxley for that AEW championship. The best way I could describe it, Bully, is that Taz looked tall and Brian Cage looked small last night.
should you ever be thinking that when it comes to a manager and a talent?
No.
What manager have you ever seen go out of their way to outshine the talent they represent?
Never. And there have been plenty of managers that did all the talking for their wrestler. Like, we've seen it many, many times, right? I mean, you know, you could, all right, I'll even make the comparison of Taz and Brian Cage to Paul Ellering and the Road Warriors. The weeks leading up to last night, Paul Ellering in a Road Warriors promo, and you can go to YouTube to watch this, Paul Ellering would do 95% of the talking, and then Hawk and Animal would add a little something right at the end of the promo, and they would be out. With the promos leading up to last night, Taz would do 90% of the talking, and then Brian Cage would do his 10% at the end of the promo. Brian Cage did not talk at all last night. As a matter of fact, the way Brian Cage dressed last night, he didn't even look like that huge physical presence. When Paul Ellering would be talking, what would Hawk and Animal be doing? They'd be flexing. They would, you know, Hawk would have that leather piece around his neck that he would pop off. It was kind of hard for you to keep your attention to Paul Ellering because, holy shit, look at the Road Warriors. Last night, Brian Cage did not look like a physical presence. I'm being honest. He looked small compared to Taz last night.
Taz is not doing Brian Cage any favors in the perception department. None. I completely agree with you, and I can talk for the rest of this show on how great Taz is on the microphone. One of the best.
Yep.
And Taz is so good that you can just throw him a live mic and say, go, go. He'll just get something over. The problem is he's getting himself over. He's not the one that should be getting over. This should be all about Brian Cage. And what I saw from week one, and remember, this was my concern with Jake Roberts and Lance Archer. And so it's not me picking on Taz or Cage. I've seen this with other talents in AEW, but it's so glaring with Taz and Cage. Last night, I've been saying that Taz has been the star and Cage has been the co-star. Last night, Cage wasn't even a co-star. Last night, the perception was also appearing Brian Cage in small letters. What color pants was Cage wearing last night?
Orange.
What color was his shirt?
Black.
Whose colors are orange and black?
Taz.
When Cage comes to the ring, what's the big logo that you see on the screen? What's his new logo say?
I don't even remember.
Path of Cage. What was Taz's slogan?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, everything is on
slogan?
Path of Taz. It's
path
everything
of
is
rage.
Yeah, path of rage. Everything is on Taz, Bully. Everything points to Taz.
What does Taz say about Brian Cage? Beat him if you can. Survive if he lets you. Whose tagline was that?
Taz.
When Brian Cage hits a suplex, who do they immediately refer to?
Taz.
Am I doing a good job as a lawyer making a case for my point as Taz is commanding entirely too much of this spotlight?
Yeah, because, I mean, but here's the thing. First of all, you're right about the colors and the tagline.
There it is. Taz calling me right now.
That's all. I know. He's pissed. But that's all well and good. And I'm not even going to blame Taz on this. Brian Cage has got to step up here.
No,
he has
you're wrong.
To.
You're wrong. You're wrong. I know where you're going. You're wrong. He's not. He's going to wait patiently in the veteran's shadow because Cage probably thinks that they're doing right by him. It's not. And I'm going to give you the perfect example. Heyman and Brock. Is Heyman one of the greatest speakers in the history of the business?
Yes.
Can Paul cut a scripted promo and cut a promo off the top of his head and constantly sell, sell, sell?
Yes.
When Paul Heyman is done with a promo, are you thinking about Paul Heyman or Brock Lesnar?
You're thinking of Brock Lesnar.
You'll say that Paul Heyman cut a great promo, but you're thinking about Brock Lesnar because Brock is doing that thing that Hawk and Animal used to do. Just stand there and be a big, scary son of a bitch. Last night, Brian Cage looked like a punk.
Well, I mean, a lot here. There's a lot here. And I know we got a break, but I got to continue this conversation because it's a great one. And listen, Bully, it's hard for me. Like, listen, you've been saying this for weeks, and I'm like, I see where Bully's going, but I don't see it 100%. I saw it last night. And again, you talk about the great. You're bringing up Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar. Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar cut their promos in the ring. You know what I'm saying? You see the physical presence of Brock Lesnar right behind Paul Heyman. You know, Brock Lesnar doesn't say a word. He doesn't say a word. But you have Paul Heyman there, and Paul Heyman, not exactly the definition of a physical presence at all, where Brock Lesnar is the definition of that. But it's even in the camera angles. Like, the camera angle last night made Taz look like this fucking badass, man. The way that that camera showed Taz, the way that Taz was talking into the mic, it was like Taz was in my face. Like, listen here, LaGreca, you son of a bitch. This is why my guy's a badass and is going to beat the shit out of you. I'm not intimidated by Brian Cage. I'm fucking intimidated by Taz. Look at him. He's in my face. He's scaring the shit out of me. Because he's like, and I'm coming at you. I'm like taking this. This was like, you know, Taz last night. He's completely taken over the complete cameras. You don't even see Brian Cage. Brian Cage was like an ant on your TV screen compared to Taz. And Brian Cage, at least when he has the shirt off, you're like, holy shit, that guy's a physical. The guy's wearing a polo shirt last night. He didn't look like that big, huge physical presence last night.
Brian Cage is an absolute monster. He's got muscles on top of muscles. His entire body was covered last night. Not only was his entire body covered, he was wearing black, which makes you look smaller and slimmer. That's why me and Dreamer wear black. Brian Cage should never be wearing those clothing. Last night, Taz should have started that promo in the camera, and Cage should have just moved Taz out of the way, and Cage should have took over the camera, and Cage should have said, Moxley, I'm talking to you and your stupid wife at home in Vegas. And that's why you're home, because of your wife and blah, 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 blah. I don't need him doing the talking for me right now because I'm talking to you, John Moxley. I'll see you. I got nothing from Brian. And if you go back and you watch, it almost looks like Cage is disappointed by what's going on in that ring. Not because Moxley didn't show up, because he looked like such a bit part in that segment last night.
And you know what? I went right to social media after that promo because I felt that I texted you right away. I was like, holy shit, boy, you've been spot on this whole time, because now I fully see it. I went to social media, Bully, and everybody was talking about that promo. Ton of tweets about that promo. I don't know if I saw anyone actually tweet the name Brian Cage on the promo. Like, everybody was talking about, holy shit, what a line by Taz. My God, the fire from Taz. What an amazing promo from Taz. Nobody was mentioning Brian Cage. By the way, in 2 weeks, it's going to be Brian Cage stepping in the ring with John Moxley, not Taz.
How bad do you want to see John Moxley punch Taz in the mouth?
I can't wait. I pay to see John Moxley punch Taz in the face.
There is a 1% chance that'll ever happen.
I know. And here's the other thing, Bully, like, you know, and I'm not invited this year. You're going to be there. Jericho must have, you know, forgot to put my invitation in the mail. But I was at the first Jericho cruise, right? And my wife and I were on the cruise together. So she saw and met every single wrestler that was on that cruise. When she saw Brian Cage, my wife said to me, like, oh, my God, who the hell is that guy? Like, she's like, dear God, he looks like a monster. I don't. She was like, I don't think I've ever seen somebody that big. I don't think I've ever seen that many muscles on one man. That was my wife meeting Brian Cage for the first time. She was in awe of Brian Cage. I'm sorry, in this whole build to Jon Moxley, I have not been in awe of Brian Cage, because you reminded me of it, Bully, because that guy has got muscles on top of muscles. He may be the biggest guy. He might be bigger than freaking Brock Lesnar.
He is bigger than Brock Lesnar. There is no, he may be, he is. Cage is jacked to the nines, man. He's a fucking... I didn't even want to say the F-bomb right
now. I know, I've been trying not to say the... I've already got 10 bucks in the curse.
Dude, he's in the gym every day. He trains like crazy. He's like a bodybuilder. He's a body guy. He's strong. He's powerful. Brian Cage is all that in a bag of chips and can do a moonsault. And no! Command the spotlight, demand the spotlight. And any veteran who's worth his weight in his paycheck knows that if too much of the spotlight is on him, it is his job to get the spotlight off of him and on to the guy that we're featuring, on to the guy that's challenging for the championship against Moxley. I've gotten bits and pieces of that. Last night, I got none of that. As of right now, to me, the match is Taz versus Moxley.
And that's the match that people want to see. Like, I want to see Brian Cage and Jon Moxley, man. On paper, Brian Cage and Jon Moxley should be a great match. They haven't done anything, because at the end of the day, Taz is not going to be in the ring with Brian Cage. It's going to be Brian Cage, and it will be a good match. I don't think that the build has gotten me excited for the match that I'm going to see in 2 weeks.
Taz is just as good, if not better, than Heyman is on the microphone. Because Taz has genuine anger, and Taz is genuinely hostile on that microphone. We're seeing the old ECW version of Taz on the microphone right now, which is great. Because when Taz is mad and angry and pissed off is when he's at his best. So he can be better than Paul is, because Paul right now is more all about hitting every line and selling. Taz has the freedom to say whatever he wants. Say whatever you want standing next to Brian Cage. Say whatever you want standing behind Brian Cage. Feature Brian Cage. If Brian Cage doesn't step towards the camera, push him towards the camera. Make sure that Brian Cage is story A and your story B. That's not what's happening right now. Despite the fact, yada, 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 that Taz is so great on the microphone, which he is, they're featuring the wrong person. And look at what you said. When you first started describing Brian Cage, you said, yeah, I see Cage. He's there. He's there? 6'3", 295 pounds of muscle on top of muscle on top of muscle, and he's just there? The guy that's challenging for the World Heavyweight Championship is just there? He's like freaking garnish. He's like the kale and the radish on the steak and baked potato. He's not even a side dish.
No,
as of
he's
last
not.
Night. He's a freaking radish.
This is Aussie Football Rules America with Eddie Maguire.
Pat McAfee.
I think the AFL is going to take over America, and I think it's been a perfect time for me to discover it. I feel like a child. The dudes out there are just incredible athletes. The sport is so electric. It's so explosive. And I think it was the sport I was supposed to play.
Catch new episodes Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern on Dan Patrick Radio, Channel 211, and listen at home with Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, or however you stream in the house.
All right, let's talk about NXT. I teased Rhea Ripley. We got a different type of match from Rhea Ripley on a big NXT show. Aaliyah and, you know, Robbie Robert Stone. And I got to be honest with you. I was a little disappointed. I was hoping Rhea Ripley was going to lose and now have to be attached to Robert Stone. I got to be honest. I was a little disappointed in the way that went last night.
It would have made for some really entertaining weeks to come to see Rhea have to work with Stone. You know, when Izzy called in earlier, and obviously Izzy's a huge NXT fan, as many of our listeners are, she talked about how NXT gave us a little bit of everything last night, including comedy. Well, the comedy came in the Rhea Ripley match. Rhea Ripley just worked with Charlotte at WrestleMania, and now Rhea Ripley is in a comedy match against Aaliyah and Stone. Should Rhea Ripley be in a position right now to be doing comedy matches? Despite the fact that last night was entertaining, mm-hmm. should Rhea Ripley be in this position right now?
No. She should be in a main event, and she should be challenging a worthy contender, because Rhea Ripley should be named as one of the top women in the women's division in the WWE.
I wouldn't have mind seeing Rhea Ripley versus Bayley last night. For no good reason. Just to have Rhea in a credible match. Don't get me wrong. First of all, Robbie E has and always will be entertaining.
Yes.
He plays his part to a T. He's really good at it. So he made it really entertaining last night. Rhea did a good job. I like the double tap out finish on the double submission gimmick. I like the fact that Aaliyah was tapping Robbie E on the ass and then realized she was smacking Robbie E's ass and trying to smack his back. I thought that was funny. But I'm just not quite sure a talent like Rhea Ripley belongs in this situation. Now, sometimes, Dave, things just happen and we don't have something. We don't have a natural angle. We haven't been able to come up with something that fits the right way. So we come up with something that will get a talent by. And I think maybe that's what they did with Rhea and this match last night. But I do agree with you. If they would have found a creative way for Rhea to lose, and now all of a sudden she is managed by Robbie E, Robert Stone, oof.
It would have been great TV. And here's the thing I'm thinking of, because Bully, you always, and I think you do this for me and the nation, you get us thinking about things in different ways. Obviously, my first thought is, hey, Rhea Ripley, what is she doing in this match? Like you said, she just challenged Charlotte, you know, at WrestleMania 36 and may outside the Boneyard match, had the best match both nights at WrestleMania. And now here she is in a comedy match. But we know in the world of the WWE that Vince McMahon looks at certain wrestlers, not about what you can just do in the ring, but can you be a character? Can you be a personality? Can you entertain me? It almost felt like this is like a tryout for the main roster. Hey, let's see what Rhea Ripley can do in this situation. Can she show some personality? Can she show some character? Can she show a sense of humor? Because, hey, we're thinking about putting her on Raw or SmackDown. Am I thinking too much, or could that be a possibility?
I think that's a great thought. That's a very smart business way to look at the Rhea Ripley situation. Because if Vince was watching that match last night and he sees Rhea able to go out there and have just as much as an entertaining match as she did a credible match against Charlotte at WrestleMania, that's what Vince wants. Vince doesn't care if you're the greatest wrestler. He could give a damn less. He wants the greatest entertainer. And oh, by the way, if you're a good wrestler while being the greatest entertainer, well, that's just icing on the cake.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if that, now that being said, like Rhea Ripley, maybe she would have been better suited in the match that opened up the show to be a number one contender to find her way back into the championship title picture. So it's interesting that she's not in that match, but she's in a, you know, a comedy match. But to me, like the last couple of weeks with Rhea Ripley have been fun and entertaining. Like, again, why do that? If she's not going to be in a championship title situation, which she isn't right now, because she wasn't even a part of that opening contest. Like, why not have her lose? It could have been a million different ways she could have lose, because that would have been some entertaining TV moving forward with Robert Stone in her corner. Now, like, what do you do with Robert Stone, and what do you do with Rhea Ripley? I was disappointed. I thought they should have went the route of having Rhea Ripley lose last night.
I thought they could have gave themselves some options moving forward for some entertaining television. They went in the direction they did. I was still entertained by the segment. Now let's see what they do next.
All right, 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT93. Let's go out to the nation. Let's go out to Jonathan in North Carolina. Jonathan, what did you think of AEW and the commentating team last night?
Chris Jericho on commentating is, like, amazing. I thoroughly enjoy having him with Tony Schiavone and JR. But my favorite part of Fyter Fest last night was whenever Trent, our best friends, actually got out of the car with Trent's mom driving.
Yeah, which actually was a really good touch. Why? Because I got to be honest with you, Jonathan, going into that matchup, it didn't feel like a main event to me on paper. Like, knowing that they were going with that in the, as the main event was a little bit disappointing. Hey, it's a title match. It's a tag match. AEW's got a really great tag division. But it didn't feel like a main event to me, like Io Shirai and Sasha Banks. Because I was like, you know what? There's no way best friends are going over Kenny Omega. Yeah, that's just not going to happen. And the fact that they came out of Trent's mom's car was like, you know what? Maybe this is going to be their night. It just left a little bit of doubt in my mind that brought a little extra to that match last night for me.
Me as well. And I certainly do appreciate what y'all do. Thank you.
All right,
for
thank you, Jonathan. Thank you. Because I do admit that, Bully, like, to me, it was a little bit of a letdown knowing that that was going to be the main event, because I didn't think Hangman Page or Kenny Omega were going to drop the title to Best Friends. And I love Best Friends. And that little thing where, you know, it was Trent's mom driving them to the match, it's like, hey, you know what? Mom's there. They're showing the mom dropping them off. Like, you know, maybe, just maybe, you know, they have an opportunity to win this match. But on paper, it just didn't do anything for me.
And I, the whole mom dropping them off thing on paper is very, very corny. But I believe it resonates with an AEW fan base, because I think the AEW fan base might be able to relate to, you know, mom dropping them off somewhere. And I could be a wrestler too, and my mom can drop me off someplace too, just like my buddies Trent and Chucky. I think it's relatable. And you know what? To some younger NXT fans too, I think it could be relatable. I think it was charming to a certain sect of the fan base. Does that make sense to you?
No, I mean, yeah, but like, it's just, it just fits.
It was
like
fun,
best for their best friends. Like, how many times, Bully, with your best friend growing up, your mom drop you off at the park or drop you off at the baseball game? You had a big game coming up.
You're a full-blown man. You're a pro wrestler, and you're getting dropped off to the pro wrestling match by your mom?
They're their best friends. They needed a ride.
That's why I say it's got a certain charm to it that I think caters to the AEW fan base. You know, I think an AEW fan I don't think like a traditional 50-year-old WWE fan is finding that entertaining. But I think that's those guys spooning up exactly what the AEW fan wants to feed on.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And it was a damn good match. But like, again, like we said earlier on the show, and this is a lot what we want to ask the Busted Open Nation as well, when you talk about, you know, what show did you like more? From beginning to end, I liked AEW more, but I thought that the Io Shirai Sasha Banks main event meant more than that match. I just didn't see Best Friends beating Omega and Hangman Page. It was a good match, don't get me wrong, but again, even though it was a championship match, because Io Shirai and Sasha Banks wasn't even a championship title match, but for full star power, I would have to give NXT the edge in the main event last night.
I just want to touch on this because we brushed over it. We were going to break when I asked you a question. For weeks now, we have been talking about this whole Charlotte thing, head and shoulders above the rest. I've been talking about, if Sasha was granted the same opportunities and put in the same positions, she could shine just as well. I also said in the ring, Charlotte is not head and shoulders above Sasha. After Sasha's performance last night, do you see what I'm talking about?
I do. I see a glimpse of it. I'm not fully on board Bully yet, but man, did she show me something last night to the point, Bully, I had to rewind it because it's almost like a lost art in pro wrestling, and that's selling. Like, there are certain things that she did in that match, because I was watching it on the DVR. Like, I rewound and watched again. One was where Io Shirai did the moonsault, and Sasha was selling. Like, a lot of times, Bully, and we've talked about this in the past, when they're about to do a moonsault, they're preparing for the impact. Like, they're preparing, you know, they're not selling, they're preparing. Sasha last night did not prepare. She sold. And she was selling her leg. And as Io Shirai was preparing to do her moonsault, which to me didn't make a lot of sense in the story of what was being told in the ring, it was a little bit of a disconnect. Sasha did a great job of selling it by not only selling the story, but selling her leg. She was grabbing her leg. So she wasn't preparing to catch or preparing for the impact. She was too busy selling the leg. A lost art in pro wrestling nowadays. And boy, did it really show a lot to Sasha's game last night.
I think Sasha is one of those performers who takes it personally when she's not being used to her maximum potential. Let's take a guy like Dolph Ziggler. I know how Dolph is. We know that Dolph is not used to his maximum potential. But you know what? Dolph doesn't care. I'm paid to do a job. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. I'll go out there. I'll give my best. But if they're not doing anything with me, whatever. I'm just gonna get over it. I'm not going to let it bother me. I think Sasha is one of those performers where if she's not being utilized, it bothers her. And it's kind of good that it bothers you when you're not being utilized, because it keeps you hungry and aggressive. I think if you see Sasha out there week after week, I don't think they're playing to Sasha's strengths right now. Sasha's strength is as a singles performer. Do I think she's doing a good job with Bayley? Yes. Do I think they're telling good stories? Yes. And in the WWE, those storytellings and that character crap is more important than the actual wrestler. But I think Sasha is as credible in the middle of that ring as Charlotte is. And I think they need to play to her strength of her wrestling ability a lot more. Because I'll go point counterpoint with Charlotte and Sasha any day of the week. You can't tell me that there's one aspect of Charlotte's game that Sasha is not just as good at. I'm not going to say better, because it's hard to say who's better at something. Can you tell me something that Charlotte is definitively better than Sasha at?
It's hard. It's just the sense you get by watching her in the ring.
Charlotte is definitively better than Liv Morgan at.
I just think physically, athletically, she's a more of a physical presence and just a better athlete in the ring than like a Sasha or a Liv Morgan.
My point is, we have 100 points as to why Charlotte is better than Liv, but I don't think there's any points as to why Charlotte is better than Sasha in the ring. I think Sasha was an athlete growing up, just like Charlotte was. I think Charlotte may have played more sports, but athletically in the ring, to me, they're the same. Presentation, they're the same. Yes, Charlotte has the big fancy robes and everything like that. She cornered the market on that, just like her dad did. That's cool. But when that bell rings, in that ring, when I see the physicalness, their athletic movement is as crisp as men, if not crisper than the men.
We got to get back to Charlotte and Sasha at some point. Like, it's great having Charlotte with Io Shirai and Rhea Ripley to get them to another level. It's great to have Sasha in the ring with Io Shirai last night to get to another level. It's great having her with Bayley to get Bayley back to another level and get over this character that Bayley has right now, because I think that's finally clicking with Sasha Banks. But at some point, we have to get back to Sasha being that main eventer and having those matches with Charlotte. When Charlotte comes back, unless it goes to that avenue that we talked about with like a Randy Orton, the only other avenue to go is to go down the avenue with Sasha Banks, because she's that damn good, Bully. And she really showed it last night to me.
Dave, we're in these conversations, we got Charlotte, we got Sasha, we got Bailey, okay? Obviously, we don't have Becky right now, home pregnant. But look at what we have on the horizon. We have Io. I'm sorry, we also have Asuka. Asuka, yes. Charlotte, Bailey, Sasha. Now, we have Io. We have Bianca, who's kind of been forgot about for a while, which I have no freaking clue why. But I'm looking forward to Bianca's back in. We have Rhea. And now, we could throw any of the other girls that you want to throw in there. Stature-wise, I don't know how they measure up to the size of those other girls. I mean, like, Tegan is the same size as Sasha. I get that. But those girls have tremendous ability. I want to see these girls really going out there and showing off their wrestling skills. If I have women who can have credible wrestling matches like men are, the spirit of competition, good wrestling, let it shine. And if it can't shine on the main roster, let it shine in NXT. That's why I said I would have loved to have seen Rhea versus Bailey last night. It doesn't matter if Rhea would have lost. Anybody can lose on any given day. If you don't remind the people of it, it doesn't matter. Well,
but you could do like what we had last night. You know, that match between Sasha and Io was a non-title match. So why not have a non-title match with, you know, with Bailey and Rhea Ripley as well? I mean, why not?
If you advertise Rhea Ripley versus Bailey, okay, non-title, it gives you another good match for your show that you're going head-to-head with Fyter Fest with. Personally, I think it's a win-win. I'm sure there's a ton of extenuating circumstances as to why it didn't happen, or maybe there's not. Maybe it's just not in their cards. I'm just saying, if I have a talent like Rhea Ripley in the same building as a talent as Bailey, I'm throwing them in the ring first. The entertaining match of Rhea versus Stone and Aaliyah, it's good. Bailey versus Rhea would have been great.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.